Luke's Gospel, and we come this morning to chapter 12 and verse 22, the passage on anxiety and care. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. For your life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens." The point about ravens is that in the Old Testament, ravens were an unclean bird, and you would normally not expect God to be interested in ravens. But Jesus says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." And commentators think that the lilies here are the field anemones of Palestine, which are clothed in scarlet and in purple, the royal colors. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon, the great king, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And if God so clothes the vegetation, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And so, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be of anxious mind. For all the nations of the world seek these things. And your Father knows that you need them. But instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be yours as well. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading from his word. To his name be the honor and the praise. Now, in the passage which we read from Luke chapter 12, Jesus is dealing with the question of anxiety in the Christian life. And the interesting thing is this, that the same passage in Matthew's Gospel forms part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it is found in that bit of the Sermon on the Mount in which Jesus is speaking about the Godwardness of true religion. He is speaking about religion in the sight of God. Life lived out under the kindly, searching gaze of our Father who is in heaven. And so in Matthew chapter 6, for example, Jesus speaks about private almsgiving, the giving of alms in the sight of God. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When you give your alms, do it privately in the sight of God. He speaks about private prayer in the sight of God. He says, when you pray, go into a private room and shut the door and say your prayers in secret. And God your Father, who sees in secret, will hear you. Prayer in the sight of God. He speaks about self-denial and fasting in the sight of God. And then he begins to speak about the problems of anxiety and care in the Christian life. And in this parallel passage here, in Luke chapter 12, on three occasions, he tells us that we are not to be anxious. First of all, in the 22nd verse, where he says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And then in verse 26, if then you are not able to do a smaller thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? And thirdly, in verse 29, he says, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be of anxious mind. And the actual word that Jesus uses is one of the most interesting words in Greek in the Gospels. It's the Greek word merimna. And merimna in Greek comes from a basic root, meros, which means to disunite and to separate and to break asunder and to distract. Meros, merimna. Merimna pulls you apart. And the idea seems to be that a life that is filled with anxiety and care is a life that is falling apart at the seams and disintegrating. It's a life that lacks cohesion or oneness. It's a life that's falling apart in all directions. And that's a good description of what anxiety and care can do to our Christian lives. Merimna, pull our lives apart and disunite our lives and distract us. Merimna. And it's a word that's used very frequently in the Gospels. For example, way back in Luke chapter 8, you may recall that Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And he speaks about seed falling amongst thorns. And this is what Jesus says. As for the seed that fell among thorns, these are they who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And that word, cares, the cares of life, choking the seed, is that same word, merimna. And Jesus is not suggesting that these people who hear the word of God are particularly wicked people. They're just ordinary folk who come to church Sunday by Sunday and hear the word and perhaps even hear it gladly. As we say in Inverness, they like a good sermon. But as they listen to the good sermon, the cares of the world rush in, the problems, the nagging concerns, the thorns, and it becomes clear that the Word of God does not have a priority in their lives. The cares and the worries, and sometimes the legitimate worries about food and clothes, the family, holidays, money. These are the things that have priority. And so the Word of God is choked by the merimna, and the hearer is torn apart and distracted by the merimna of the world. And you know how it is. You scarcely leave the church when the cares rush in. There's so-and-so to be seen when you get home. And you must make that phone call. And friends are coming. And what are you going to give them for a meal? And then there's the travel agent to see about that holiday you've always promised yourself in Mexico. And did you or did you not salt the potatoes? And the cares rush in. And the Word of God is choked by the merimna of the world. It's the word that Jesus uses when he speaks about Martha, that busy, busy woman. Jesus does not censure her for being busy, busy. There's nothing essentially wrong with being a busy person or an activist. Would to God that more Christians were busier than they are. The wrong creeps in when your busyness and your activities distract you from more important things. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious." Merimna. You are anxious about many things. And earlier on in the story he says that she is distracted by much serving. And Jesus indicates that her sister Mary had chosen the better part. Of course, Mary had worries too. But she set aside her anxieties, and she sat down and she listened and she learned Christ. I wonder if Peter was present in the room, because when Peter wrote his first letter to the Christians, this is what he told them to do. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And the word he uses is the same word. It's the word merimna. Take the merimna in your life and bring them to God. I believe that at the very heart of Christ's teaching on anxiety and care, there are three great paradoxes. I'd like to speak about these briefly this morning. Do you know what a paradox is? A paradox is a set of two things which seem to contradict each other. And yet you can hold them both in tension. And they're both true. And here's the first paradox, and I'm sure you've proved it in your own life. The more we try to get rid of our anxieties and our cares in our own strength, the more the anxieties and the cares multiply. The history of man, as somebody has said, is the history of man bolstering himself and cushioning himself against the cares of the world. Put it practically like this. If you have a freezer, you can prepare a meal 3 months in advance, or even 6 months in advance. And you have put a mattress between yourself and hunger, because you're always ready. The food is there. If you have a refrigerator, you can stop the milk going sour, and you can keep butter and meat fresher for a bit longer. And you have put a mattress between yourself and corruption. If you have a video recorder, you can store up for yourself hours and hours and days of pleasure. You don't need to go out for pleasure. You can have it in your own house. You have put a mattress between yourself and reality. And with a television set, you can lull yourself to sleep and cushion yourself against all the pains and the terrors of the outside world. Because, of course, television can be a drug. You can feed it into yourself, mainline, straight to the heart, until you are anesthetized and doped and stupefied. The progress of man has been the progress of man cushioning himself against anxiety and care. But the paradox is that we have not got rid of our anxieties and cares. In fact, we have multiplied them. The fridge can break down. The electricity may be cut. And the food in your freezer be ruined. Your television set can go kaput. The car tire may have a puncture. Petrol may be up in price. And all the cushions and the bolsters and the mattresses between you and reality can be taken away. In fact, the Bible teaches that one day God is going to take away all the mattresses and all the bolsters and all the cushions, and we are to stand in the presence of God in judgment as we are. You see, the paradox is that the more you try to get rid of your anxieties and cares, the more your anxieties and cares are multiplied. The second paradox is this. I wonder if you've proved this in your life. Anxiety is both the root and the fruit of sin. It lies there at the start of sinning. And then when sin has run its course, more and more anxiety has grown and bred. Anxiety is the root of sin. And it's the fruit of sin. You see it very vividly in Eve's encounter with the snake in the Garden of Eden. That whole story is riddled with guilt and anxiety. The snake asks her a question. How often questions make us anxious. The snake asks, "Has God said?" She doesn't know what to make of this. She's never heard a question before. That's the first question in the universe. And she's disturbed. And she's anxious. And she says, "Yes, God has said we should not eat the fruit of the tree. And God has even told us not to touch the tree. But in fact, God had not told them not to touch the tree. He had simply told them not to eat the fruit. But the anxiety led to sin. It was at the root. And it was the fruit. And then her husband has to eat. And then they're both anxious because they're naked. And no sooner have they clothed themselves to cover their nakedness than there is this awful voice of God speaking to them. And they're anxious again because the voice says, "Adam, where are you?" That's a disturbing question. Adam, where are you? That's what God says every time the gospel is preached. That's what God is saying to you this morning. Adam, where are you? It was Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish thinker and Christian, who said that you cannot understand man's personality if you do not understand anxiety. Angst was the word he used. He said, anxiety is the key to the understanding of man as a sinner. Because the opposite of sinning is trusting in God. And the cure for anxiety is trusting in God. And failure to trust God breeds care and worry and anxiety and uncertainty. Anxiety is the root and the fruit of sin. I wonder if you've heard of Golding's great book, Pincher Martin. Golding is more famous for his other book, The Lord of the Flies. But he has this book called Pincher Martin, and it's about a sailor called Pincher Martin. And when the book opens, Pincher Martin is in the sea, struggling because the ship has just gone down. And he's struggling to pull off his sea boots because a sailor doesn't like to be in the water with his sea boots on, because the sailor will tell you that the boots will fail and he'll drown. And so there is Pincher Martin struggling to get his boots off. So he floats around, and finally, exhausted, he's washed up on a great rock. And there's nothing else apart from this great rock sticking out of the sea. There's no soil, there's no grass, there are no flowers, there are no animals, just this great stack of rock surrounded by a stormy sea. And he crawls up and holds onto the rock. And the book is a horrific account of Pincher Martin lying there, scrambling up, eating sea anemones, and trying to convince himself that they're strawberries. and he discovers a little fleck of chocolate in his pocket, and he saves it up as a treat. And halfway through the book, he puts the fleck of chocolate on his tongue, and it melts. And he just gets the suggestion of a taste of pleasure, and then it's gone. Golding is not a Christian, but he believes in the depths of evil in man. And Pincher Martin is a picture of man in his isolation and his loneliness and despair. It's a portrait of anxious sinner man, and he's hanging on to the rock, and any rock will do anything to save himself being sucked down into the stormy waters. In fact, the book reveals that Pincher Martin does go down, and in fact, he is drowned in the first chapter of the book. And all that happens in the book happens in his brain as he goes down to die. And in the last chapter, he's picked up by some men from a rescue ship, drowned with his sea boots on. Anxious man, holding on to any rock that will save him from the storms. Man without God is a prey to anxiety and care. And anxiety and care are the root and the fruit of sin. The third paradox is this, and it's one of the great working paradoxes of the Christian life. We are never entirely rid of our cares. There will always be our cares and our worries and our anxieties. But the gospel invites you to bring your cares and your anxieties to God. Jesus said, look at the ravens, unclean birds. Now, if God feeds the unclean birds, do you not think that he cares for you? Look at the vegetation in the fields. In its heyday, it's clothed in scarlet and purple like Solomon. It's destined to be burned. But if God clothes vegetation so lovingly, do you not think that he cares for you? Cast thy burden on the Lord, says the psalm. But the Hebrew says, roll thy burden on the Lord, meaning take the great weight off your shoulders and roll it onto the shoulders of God. Of course, the burden is still your burden. You've still got to carry it. But the paradox is that if you cast your burden on the Lord, somehow it will be lighter and easier to carry. The old chorus put it like this: all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot share. Never a friend like Jesus. Perhaps the psalmist puts it more movingly. In the 56th Psalm, David speaks about God storing up our tears in his bottle. But of course, the Jews didn't use bottles. They used wineskins. And the idea is that God has a wineskin, and it's full of your tears. Of course, they're still your tears. You must still weep them. They're still your tears. But because God has made your tears his own and treasured them in a wineskin, the tears are not so bitter. Jesus said, look at the ravens, unclean birds, and God feeds them. Look at the vegetation, destined for the oven. Don't be anxious. Do not be anxious. Casting all your care, your merimna, the things that distract you, upon him. For he careth for you. And if you do that, I promise you will know a new kind of peace in your life and a new kind of leisure and a new kind of detachment from self in which you will be able to serve God as a better person. Amen. May God add his blessing to the preaching of his word. And to his name be honor and praise. We close with hymn number 546, using the tune Narenza, Commit Thou All Thy Griefs and Ways Into His Hands. 546.